You're listening to A Stranger Podcast, www.thestranger.com.
What do you know?
Never gonna know, never thank you, dear listener, for downloading yet another Dear Science Podcast. I'm Jonathan Golub, the science columnist here at The Stranger, and with me today is Jonah.
That's me.
One of the senior news writers who's a little bit crabby because I'm running behind today. This continues our irregular scheduled podcast, which happen at any random moment. You'll just have to keep checking for them. We're going to talk today about traffic jams. I got a great question on traffic jams. And I just want to even just start off, like, what's your biggest pet peeve? Because you drive in Seattle.
My biggest pet peeve is people who don't use their turn signals, but that I don't know that that's the cause of traffic jams.
It is a little bit, actually. Yeah, wow. This is the best thing. This is one of the dreamy moments of when I started researching this in earnest, is that traffic jams at least are in part caused and at least maintained by people's incompetent driving.
Right.
So it seems like a good self-punishment. Very, very Catholic. I very kind of approve of this in its own little way. So I can't stand four-way stops, which sort of feed into people not using their turn signals. Like, I think the state of Washington should completely scrap the WASL, get rid of all, like, this, you know, no child left behind testing, and the entire examination for intelligence and, like, education should be, like,
how you react at a four-way stop.
Yeah, like, you have, like, a multiple-choice test where you have, like, four-way stop situations laid out for you where your car is, like, the black car in the circle.
I've got airbags. I just go through.
See, like, this is exactly why I start going bananas on this whole thing. Because there are actual rules. There's only one case where you really should be confused at a four-way stop. That is when all four cars arrive at precisely the same moment and all want to go straight. And at that point, if that actually happens in the real world, you might as well get out of your car and, like, start just, you know, have a little party, because that's like the odd. It just never does. Usually half the time, like,
that's why I drive Truckosaurus.
Yeah, exactly. Pull up and we really do need blow torches more often. But, like, so, like, there's a lot of really bad. It also drives me nuts when everyone drives the exact same speed in every lane on the freeway, like at 4 o'clock in the morning, right. Where, like, you know, everyone's going 52, and they're all across every single lane, and there's no cars after them or before them. But we're going to talk about this. So, like, this question that I got was, all right, so the person kind of understood why, when there's, like, a traffic block, why there's a backup, right? Because, like you lose a lane, and, like, all these cars are coming along, and suddenly you have to pinch down, so they have to slow down. And then once you get to the front of the pinch point, then you can, like, speed off like a crazy person. And so, and he understands that if all these cars are slowing down and at the far end of this traffic backup, the cars are going to be going faster and then see the cars ahead of them stop and slow down. And that's why it sort of builds up. What the questioner didn't understand, and it's something that actually really does happen, is that – so the blockage goes away. Like, if it's a four-lane highway, all four lanes are opened up again, yet you still have a slowdown. Right, cars are sort of speeding off the front, but the cars are still slowing down behind. So, like, the memory of this, like, you know, cop that pulled someone over, or accident, or fender bender, or whatever the hell happened, sticks around for hours, basically until rush hour ends, and the traffic volumes completely drop off. And, like, how in the hell does this happen? Why does this happen?
Rubbernecking seems particularly bad here too.
It does. I think people are bored. I think we need more, like, violent crime in Seattle. This is my other.
I'll get on that.
See, you know, a news reporter has to have a little bit of, makes life easy. You know, think about Detroit. Like,
I was just going to go start committing random crimes. Like, I had nothing to do with my.
Yeah, you know. I mean, it would at least reduce the number of traffic stops.
There you go.
Never get pulled over speeding in Baltimore, but Seattle sort of happens on occasion. So, yeah, rubbernecking is totally like that, right? But even after there's nothing to rubber a neck at, the backup still remains for that. And so, like, it's this weird thing. If you think about cars as being like marbles in cards on a road being like marbles in a tube, and you pinch the tube a little bit and it slows down, but when you release the pinching, you get rid of the blockage, and, like, all the marbles just can keep going right away. Like, it disappears, that little jam disappears. Whereas cars, the problem is they're driven by a person, and each of the people has a variable level of skill at this task. We sort of assume that, you know, driving is like a birthright, but it's a skill. And there's, in like any skill, there's a distribution in the population. And usually when you're on the road, you're sort of left at the level of the biggest idiot who's driving around you. And so The problem is, when you're driving a car, you don't really know it's safe to go. You don't know the blockage is gone until you're at the very front, right? You know, you see open road in front of you and you go. Everyone beyond that first row of cars has to kind of assume, like, you can't... Like, if everyone started moving at the exact same speed at the same time, things would be wonderful and the traffic jam would disappear.
Yeah, did I might have dreamt this or made it up completely, but I thought I remembered hearing at one point that, like, that the freeways are built to sort of be at maximum efficiency at, like, 45 miles an hour around that range. Is that, did I totally make that up?
It's a little bit funny. No, I think most freeways, like, up to standard freeways are actually designed to be safely driven up to speeds around 70.
No, but, like, they're like, the maximum number of cars are moving at the maximum...
Like 45 miles per hour? Right. It's a little bit tricky. It depends on the exact road, but certainly faster than where traffic jams end up. Like, total, like, complete capacity of number of cars usually is much slower. And it's partly because of these... So, like I said, you know, this comes up even more. Like, you can kind of see this at some stoplights in Seattle, like, when you're on a hill. If you're, like, the sixth or seventh car back, because if you're up a little higher, you can actually see the lights turn green, but yet you're still stopped. Because, like, the light, only the car really at the front of the traffic intersection really has control. Like, you see it, and the car after them then sees it, and then they go. Whereas if in an ideal situation, everyone would start moving all at once.
See, and nobody uses their damn horns here. Like,
no.
If I use mine, people look at me like I just killed their, like, first child or something.
Yeah, strangle the puppy in front of them.
Yeah, it's terrible.
No, I agree. There should be more horn usage in Seattle.
And you go to any other major city and you get honked at just for, you know, being in your car.
Or, you know, my sister calls it education. You receive education for your poor choices in life. So you have these issues that, you know, all the drivers end up actually propagating it all by themselves. So, like, what keeps the traffic jam going is essentially this wave, right? It's the fact that you have all these cars bunched together that are all tailgating one another and that they don't feel safe speeding up until they really do have open road in front of them, which means only the first car in the line can go. And this can happen. So this weird thing happens. After a blockade is removed, this wave of slowed cars actually starts moving backwards. Cars keep building up behind, and then, like, it bleeds off the front because there's nothing really to stop the cars in the front anymore. But it keeps coming up back. So, like, if there's a blockade on, like, this on the Seattle end of 520, it'll eventually move all the way to, like, Redmond, but it'll just keep, you know, this block will keep more or less the same size all the way through until the end of rush hour. So, how do you get rid of it? I have a solution for this.
Flying cars.
Kind of.
Awesome.
No. We'll work on that together.
All right. Good.
We have the boat car. Wasn't the boat car, like, made here? The airplane car or some car?
Yeah, the underwater. I think a lot of people drowned.
It just didn't seem to work very well. We have the ducks. I mean, maybe that's the other solution.
Oh, well, people drown in those, too, so.
I forgot about that. The Stranger Dear Science podcast brought to you by drowning. The end of the world here. So partly, if you want to end traffic jams, you just have to drive much less like a hyena. Stop tailgating. Just stop tailgating. So if you think about, like, the waves, waves... Yeah, exactly.
I thought you were talking about laughing while driving or something.
So, like, these waves of traffic are kind of like a spring pulling a screen door shut. And, you know, like, if you just have a spring, like, the door will slam, like, there's no big thing. Usually... If you're in a hoity-toity house, you end up with having one of those dampeners on it.
Hoity-toity house?
Or, like, you know, like, go to J. Crew. Like, if you're going to a shitty, you know, like, Value Village, the door is going to slam on your ass. But you go to a fancy schmancy place, it has a little dampener here. Something to break down the waves a little bit. And so if you give the car in front of you some space, like, you see traffic again slows down, instead of, like, going right up to, like, behind the car in front of you and then stopping and going and stopping and going, that stopping and going, that churning is actually what keeps the traffic in that big block that's going much slower than it really needs to go. So what you can do is kind of get a good sense of how fast the cars are actually going on average when you smooth out the stopping and going. So, like, maybe when you're going 25 and then you're stopped. So you figure maybe try to go, like, 15 and allow, like, an actual space to form between you and the car.
But then isn't someone just going to try to fill that gap?
Maybe. I mean, that's the whole thing. Maybe people will try to fill that gap. And this is what I'm saying. You know, it takes a couple people. So if you can get someone else on the other side of you, you can maybe do this. But if you just drive smoothly, don't speed up, don't slow down, just go the actual speed the traffic is going rather than stopping and going, you'll actually eat up. So then the car in front of you get closer and further as they'll block a traffic of stopping and going. But just because you're no longer participating in that stopping and going, you will eventually eat up the wave, and you will, and then the cars behind you. Once that kind of the traffic gets to the end of the highway, which a lot of our highways just sort of end.
But then I'm going to be the asshole making everybody later.
No, the thing is, you're going the same
base of cars.
You're thinking about this again. It takes a little bit of logic, and you're going the same average speed as the cars that are stopping and going. So yeah, they may be going a little faster sometimes, but they're also stopped. Whereas you're just steadily puttering along, and then that steady speed, because you're not stopping and going, you can actually eventually go faster because everyone can kind of keep that speed in unison. The whole idea is you want to get the traffic able to go faster in unison. If you're in stop and go, everyone's so busy, it's the stopping, the sudden stopping that ends up making people have to go much slower than they actually could. So these waves of stopping and going sort of keep rushing through all of the cars on the freeway. Whereas if you just go steadily, then everyone can go steadily a little bit faster.
Slow and steady wins the race.
Slow and steady wins the race. And so this isn't just like an idea. Like, there's been a lot of theory about this in computer models. There's a crazy electrical engineer who used to live on the east side who actually tried this 10 years ago. Like, just started, like, went with him and a buddy on 520 and, like, broke up the wave. Like, slow, you know, went the average speed. And then they used the traffic camera data to figure out, like, this is what the speed was before they did it. And they could actually see their cars going across the freeway. And then they were able to show that they actually sped up traffic on 520 at rush hour.
But it actually speeds up traffic. It's not like, I mean, so you're creating this buffer between the cars in front of you. And
so what you're thinking about is the buffer is a means to create a smooth traffic behind
right.
you. So the cars behind you, once you've done this, they're all just going, you know, creeping along but not stopping and going. They're just smoothly flowing.
Right.
And when the block ahead of you goes away, that you've buffered, you sort of hid from the cars behind you, then what happened is after they got to the end of 520, when it terminates at I-5, then everyone behind them actually started going, like, slowly speeding up and going faster and faster. So they actually increased the average speed of the freeway just by getting rid of these blocks. And so you can see this on the freeway. I see this all the time, even at, like, late nights when there isn't very heavy traffic. All of the cars are all bunched up together in a big block. And if, like, one guy cuts someone off or someone merges, that whole block has to, like, slow down in a panic. And so the key thing is if you get in between these blocks and you actually can go very, it actually works much better and you're actually much safer. So this is the whole idea that traffic is actually kind of like water in a tube or these sorts of things, but just really, really stupid water in a tube. Because everyone, you know, so this is the whole idea of being, like, really aggressive and tailgating and trying to, like, make sure someone doesn't get in front of you and all this stuff actually makes traffic go slower and slower and slower and slower. So because of the stopping and starting and only the car that really feels like it's safe can actually go, that's how you end up in, like, totally stop gridlock, is by people tailgating and doing the stop and go stuff. So the more and more people who are just willing to let a little bit of space build up in front of them from time to time. Like, you don't want it, again, if you get a ton of space that never sort of eats up at all, you're going too slow. But it's a sort of tricky thing that's never going to happen. But now you can be even more infuriated when in traffic if you just realize that people kind of had even the slightest bit of politeness and less than total, like, you know,
welcome to America,
budding,
dude,
pushing aggression, they would probably be able to get home earlier. And that is our wonderful sort of stranger edifying moment.
Yeah, well, I'm still not going to do it when I drive home tonight.
I know, I mean, no one will.
No.
I'm going to declare, though, this might be another Dear Science fatwa. I'm going to declare, like, Friday or something very soon. I'm going to declare a day. You'll hear the announcement on Slog, the standard place for all fatwa issuing, that there will be a day where I'm encouraging as many people as possible to try this. We'll see if people get home.
Jonathan Golub's drive like an asshole day. Sounds good.
Yeah, yeah. You have to know. I would call it more constipated driving.
Oh, that's unpleasant in a lot of ways.
But accurate. Sort of, you know, illustrative of the sort of stuff. You know, the idea that you're going to sit here and try to calculate the average speed.
Seriously, though. You do that, somebody's going to get shot. You know, they're going to be honking at this car that won't move forward.
And like, go know, right up against
right,
the front of it.
They're going to get rammed, and it's going to be mayhem, dude.
I think we should go rent a bunch of Hummers. I hear they're cheap right now, and we should just do it. Because people assume we're assholes already with.
There
you know?
We go. And they are, so.
Yeah, then we could act the part.
Right.
But it would be a sort of a bizarre asshole, sort of, again, constipated asshole.
Right. We should paint it camo, too.
Yeah, right. With floodlights up at the top.
Right, exactly.
Just to give an idea. So with that, we're going to end this Dear Science podcast. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening. Send your questions to dearscience@thestranger.com. Thank you, Jonah.
You're welcome.